It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, there's a shortage of home care workers in Wisconsin and around the country. We'll hear about an effort in Wisconsin to turn things around.
First, it's our weekly look at national news and politics with hurricanes dominating the headlines. Congress is looking at recovery funding for Hurricane Harvey, while a series of Caribbean islands and the Miami area brace for Hurricane Irma.
Meanwhile, Congress faces a huge to-do list for the next month, including a response to the end of the DACA program announced yesterday.
Harry Enten is a senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. Harry, good to have you back.
My pleasure.
Before we get to politics, Harry, you've been watching Hurricane Irma and writing about it. It's already caused now major damage to some islands. It's on its way to make a close pass of Puerto Rico. Could hit the Miami area, the eighth biggest metropolitan area in the country. Can you talk about the uncertainty of predicting where a storm like this is going to end up?
Sure. You know, obviously our thoughts and prayers are with those people down in the Caribbean right now. But, you know, if you just look at historical errors with 4 or 5 day hurricane forecasts, you see that they're quite wide. In fact, the National Hurricane Center's forecast for their 5 day forecast, the track error, historically speaking, has been about more than 200 miles. And of course, if you go the span of Florida, say from Vero Beach all the way over to St. Petersburg, that's far less than that. So, you know, this storm, people should prepare for it down in the south, obviously in Florida. But it could go either way. It could hit the West Coast, it could hit the East Coast, it could go out to sea. But right now, the most likely path seems to be over the East Coast of Florida, if you believe the National Hurricane Center forecast, and I do.
We've already been hearing words like historic to go along with Irma. Can you talk a little bit about the scale of the storm?
Yeah, I mean, right now, obviously, it's a Category 5, which is the highest you can possibly get. Winds have been maxing out. The maximum sustained winds have been 185 miles per hour, and it's maintained its Category 5 winds for a very long period of time right now. So that in itself is quite historic. But the thing that I'm keeping my eye out on is that if, let's say, Hurricane Irma does strike the United States as a Category 4, it would be the first time in recorded history going all the way back to 1851 in which there were two Category 4 storms that hit the United States in one season, with the obviously the other one being Harvey that hit Texas just a few weeks ago.
And you write that Irma probably wouldn't cause the kind of flooding damage that Harvey did on the U.S. mainland anyway. Why not?
Well, the storm is just moving at a much faster pace. It's much more progressive. What allowed for the flooding rains to occur in the Houston area as well into southwest Louisiana was that the storm basically stalled. This storm should move significantly more quickly, but there would, of course, still be plenty of flooding rains throughout the state of Florida if the track right now holds into the Carolinas, and obviously the wind and the storm surge would create a lot of damage. So I don't want to downplay the dangerousness of this storm, but the flooding potential, while high, we're not going to probably see the same level of rainfall as we did with Harvey.
So as we watch to see what happens with Irma, and we hope and pray for the best there, there's also a political story unfolding in relief for hurricane season after Hurricane Harvey, and also whether or not raising the debt ceiling should be attached to that. Some politics at play between Democrats and Republicans. What's going on there?
Well, it seems like the political game is almost over in a sense, because Donald Trump, the Republican president of the United States, has said that, in fact, he wants to team up with Democrats and ensure that the debt ceiling is raised for the next 3 months so that Hurricane Harvey funding, relief funding, can be given to those people down in Texas and Louisiana, which, of course, was quite surprising if you've been following the political story at all, because even Speaker Ryan, as of this morning, said that that made no sense. And then, of course, just Trump came in and did what he wanted to anyway, which I guess is what we come to expect from this president. He doesn't exactly play by the normal rules of politics.
Yeah, this was a story that's been developing over the afternoon. It looks like at least some sources are saying President Trump reached this deal with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi in a room with Republican leaders watching, jaws dropping, literally or figuratively anyway. This is not what anybody expected to happen, I think, when we woke up this morning.
It's stunning because, you know, Donald Trump is supposed to be the leader of the Republican Party, and here he is striking deals with Democratic leaders while the Republican leaders of Congress are in the same room as him. And they have to be looking at each other going, what the heck is going on? But I think at the end of the day, what we just need to continuously point out is Donald Trump does what he wants to do, and it's not always going to be popular with the American public, and sometimes it's not going to even be popular with people in the same room as him.
Talking to Harry Enten right now from 538.com. And Harry, I mean, is this the future of the passage of legislation in Congress? We've seen Republicans on their own trying to get stuff done, like a health care repeal and replace. Hasn't happened. Is this maybe a passage forward?
I would say that probably not. Donald Trump, one day he's supposedly making a pivot, right? He's giving a speech where he sounds more presidential, and then the next day he goes back to being the same. Of course, who really knows, right, with him? It could be a case where maybe he is going to change tactics and maybe he is going to try and get more involved and maybe team up with some Democratic leaders. But if the past is any prologue with the current president of the United States, that's probably not going to be the case. For whatever reason, he just felt like doing this with Harvey. It could be that he saw that his approval ratings have risen a little bit because perhaps of his handling of the storm. In fact, his approval ratings on the storm themselves is among the best for anything he's done so far. So maybe he felt that. But who's really to say with Donald Trump, because he may change his mind tomorrow?
We'll get more into those approval ratings in a bit. But the president has reached a deal with leaders of the minority party in Congress, Democrats. But is it a done deal then that Republican leaders will go along and allow a vote on this deal as it stands?
Well, you know, we can't say necessarily for sure what exactly would occur. Obviously, if all the Democrats are on board and Republicans do allow this, the Republican leadership does allow it to the floor for a vote, then I do think that it would probably pass. Of course, you know, the Republican leaders may be facing pressure within their own caucuses to do certain things. But at this point, you know, playing chicken with the debt ceiling is a very, very not only difficult, it's probably a stupid thing to do just in terms of the economy of the United States. And with Donald Trump clearly saying where he stands on this issue, I wouldn't be surprised if the Republican leadership folded rather quickly. But again, we'll have to wait and see.
And just briefly before we move on, what is it the Republicans expressly are worried about in this sort of deal making with Democrats?
Well, I just don't think that, you know, they don't want to give up anything to Democrats without getting something in return. And they obviously want to see major slashes to spending within the federal government. And this doesn't do that at all. You know, it in fact raises the spending and they don't really get very much out of it. So, you know, it's a deal that's been done where it's really a one-sided deal. And so obviously, if you're part of the Republican leadership, that's not something you want to get seen done. You want to be able to get, you know, certain things that perhaps you don't want funded to, you know, slashes in those funding. And in fact, they pretty much just got nothing out of it except for obviously the Hurricane Harvey funding, which is good for the people down in Texas and Louisiana, but not necessarily good for the Republican legislative agenda.
Moving on to another big issue, immigration. Yesterday, Attorney General Sessions announced the end of DACA, the deferred action for deportation of people brought into the U.S. as children. Here's a listen.
I'm here today to announce that the program known as DACA that was effectuated under the Obama administration is being rescinded. The DACA program was implemented in 2012 and essentially provided a legal status for recipients for a renewable two-year term, worker authorization, and other benefits, including participation in the Social Security program to 800,000 mostly adult illegal aliens.
And so, Harry, with this announcement yesterday, the president and Jeff Sessions basically lobbing the issue over to Congress. And as we wait to hear what they're going to do, what does public opinion have to say about deportation and DACA?
Well, DACA itself is a fairly popular program if you look at the polling. You know, it depends, obviously, what polls you look at, but it's pretty clear from looking at all the polls that a majority of Americans do, in fact, support the DACA program, at least in principle, and that includes a number of Republicans. Some polls, in fact, find that a plurality of self-identified Republicans approve of the DACA program. But I should point out that in some ways this reminds me of some previous debates on particular issues such as gun control, where if you remember we had a whole debate a few years ago about background checks, and that polled ridiculously well, even among Republicans, but the Congress wasn't willing to pass something. And part of the reason for that was that on the issue of gun control as a whole, the American public was actually pretty evenly split, and on the subject of immigration as a whole, the public is pretty evenly split. So it's going to be rather interesting to see whether or not Republican legislators will go along with the polling on DACA in particular or on the polling on immigration more broadly. If it's on DACA in particular, they're going to pass something. If it's on immigration more broadly, then it looks a little dicey.
Could particular Republicans be looking at a situation where they could appeal to the general public by coming up with a fix to DACA here, but then really angering their main supporters, their base, and risking maybe even a primary challenge in 2018?
Absolutely. If you look at past primary performances among Republican legislators within Congress, we do in fact see there's a fairly high correlation between how they vote on immigration issues and their eventual fate in a primary. Obviously, there are other variables that go into that, but we do see a fairly high correlation in Republican primaries. With the more pro-immigration you are, the worse you do in Republican primaries. So obviously, if you're a Republican legislator, especially in a red district, you might be hesitant to vote for a bill that, although may be popular among the American public at large, may in fact be poison within a Republican primary electorate.
We're talking to Harry Enten right now from 538.com, looking at some of the top stories in national politics.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have family members affected by Hurricane Harvey or in the path of Hurricane Irma? What are you hearing from them? What do you want Congress to do when it comes to the 800,000 people affected by this DACA announcement? And what do you think should be the top priority for Congress in a busy season? Immigration, taxes, debt ceiling, you name it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we continue our conversation now with Harry Enten from 538, looking at the latest news in national politics.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this deal between the president and Democratic leaders in Congress on the debt ceiling and hurricane relief? What should Congress do when it comes to DACA and the potential deportation of 800,000 people who had been protected somewhat by that program? What should be the top priority in Congress? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Gary is with us in Fitchburg. Gary, hi.
Hi. I have a point of view that perhaps is not understood as a left point of view. I'm someone that's been very progressive all my life, and I would say left-leaning with some intelligence behind it. I think it's wrong for the Democrats to assume that everybody on the left or even middle of the road is all on board with hundreds of thousands of people coming in here. We can no longer even take care of our own citizens, let alone having to have 900,000, I'm sure. If you include all the other illegals, it's an unbelievable amount of people. And we have to provide schooling for them, often health care, often language skills. This is not colonial America. The country is already bankrupt. We need to have a more sensible program.
I gotcha, Gary. And Harry, people have been noting that Democrats, the Democratic Party, not that long ago were a little shy about immigration reform, worried it could lose them votes. They seem to be more on board, more pro-immigration, against deportation. Are there a lot of people out there, do you think, like Gary, who might be Democrats but not completely into the immigration reform issue?
Well, to me, it's so interesting, right? If you look at the polling again on individual issues such as deportations, building the wall, DACA, you go so on and so forth, you see that over the past few years, in fact, there has been movement towards the, say, more pro-immigration position, right? But in fact, if you look at, Republican primary electorates and you look at how people have voted at large and you look at polls that ask more broadly about immigration, you do in fact see that Republicans are more than holding their own despite the fact that the electorate has become much more diverse over the past few years, which does in fact suggest that there have been some people who have been persuaded by the Republican line of argument. And so I don't think it's necessarily a slam dunk for Democrats, despite them perhaps believing it is, looking at these individual poll issues and believing, hey, as this country becomes more diverse, especially as there are more immigrants who become part of the American fabric, Latinos in particular, we're going to gain votes. But if you look at the past election results over the last 5 years, I think it's hard to argue that, in fact, maybe Republicans have a pretty valid point of view in the minds of many Americans.
Thanks for that call. And we'll go to another one now from Jeremy in Racine. Jeremy, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I believe this is really a golden opportunity for the Republican Party in regards to the immigration reform. If they choose to let this just fall off and do absolutely nothing, which I'm afraid is going to happen, they're missing an opportunity to be able to pull and draw in a mass amount of workers that within the next decade, the United States is going to be in dire need of. It's already happening around the world. Countries around the world are already soliciting to other impoverished nations or lower, lesser nations and trying to bring in people to come in and work for their factories and do the skilled works that they don't have a workforce to draw from. So,
Jeremy, thanks a lot for that call. And Harry, Jeremy sees this as a golden opportunity for Republicans to take a stand. He sees looking for bringing in workers into the country and Republicans being at the vanguard of that. Do you see it as that? Is it an opportunity?
Well, certainly a lot of Republican lawmakers and a lot of economic conservatives see it that way. You know, a lot of business leaders who have traditionally been Republican have been much more pro-immigration than perhaps some others within the Republican Party. So they certainly agree with that caller's point of view. The one thing I will say is that the Republican Party that is right now is not necessarily the same Republican Party that it was 15 or 20 years ago. It's a lot more working class, at least in comparison to the electorate overall. And so it's one of these interesting sort of juggling acts that Republican lawmakers have to go through whereby they have to satisfy both their donor base and perhaps that voter base that helped put Donald Trump in the White House.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Harry Enten from 538.com, looking at some of the top stories out of national politics this week. Harry, I wanted to ask about a topic near and dear to your heart. You wrote recently a piece on how to spot fake or misleading polls. What should we be on the lookout for?
Well, you know, this is I spent a long time investigating this firm that put out a poll in the state, a quote-unquote poll that a quote-unquote firm that put out a poll in the state of Michigan regarding Kid Rock's Senate run, and it turns out there was a lot of shady stuff going on with that particular firm. And in response to that, I wrote a second piece in which I said, here are a list of 10 things you can read it on our website that people should keep an eye out on. But I think the most basic thing is, have you ever heard of this polling company? And are there people who are willing to put their name behind that poll, right? We know Gallup. We know Pew. You know, we know these polling firms in the state of Wisconsin. Obviously, there's the Marquette Law School poll with Charles Franklin. We know Charles Franklin. But this particular polling firm, Delphi Analytica, nobody, no real person was willing to put their name behind that poll. And I think that is the number one thing that we should keep an eye out on, is if you have never heard of this pollster and there are no real people associated with the poll, then you should be very, very suspicious of them.
Okay, so switching to polls that you do put your money behind, 538, so let's look at President Trump's polling numbers. A lot of stuff going on for the president. There's been Charlottesville and his role there. There's the pardon of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. What's happened to the president's approval during all that?
Well, you know, obviously the longer-term trend, I should point out, is that Trump's approval rating has seemed to decline, you know, from, say, the mid-40s at the beginning of his presidency to the mid-30s now. But over the last few weeks, despite all of those different things occurring, Trump's approval rating has stayed fairly steady at around 37-38%. Perhaps it's up a little bit over the last week or two. I would say that's probably because of Trump's response to Hurricane Harvey. Americans have certainly approved of that in very large numbers. It could also be the case that by focusing in on Harvey, it takes our Americans' eyes off of perhaps some other actions that Trump takes that perhaps wouldn't be nearly as popular, such as the Arpaio pardon. But overall, Trump's approval rating over the past few weeks has been fairly stable, which perhaps is something Trump will take, given that the longer-term trend has been for it to decline.
And I know this is a question you've been asking at 538, you and your colleagues there. Is there a floor where President Trump's approval just isn't going to go any lower no matter what?
Well, I'll tell you, there probably is, right? But we don't know where that floor is, and I would argue that most of the polling that we look at suggests that he's still got a while to go before that floor is actually hit. It's probably in the mid-20s. That's where it is for most presidents. Remember Richard Nixon, even after he, or right as on the verge of him getting impeached, still managed to get an approval rating of about 24-25%. So I would say that Donald Trump still has a ways to go before hitting that floor, but obviously it becomes a little bit more difficult to lose points on your approval rating because right now we're really getting into the Republican base.
And so, Harry, as we move on from that, let's look at Congress and what they've got ahead of them. It's a packed schedule. There's the debt ceiling and defense bill, the tax code, rewriting that, DACA with Congress, and maybe action by President Trump. Is it likely that Congress can actually get through all that?
No, I mean, they're not going to get through all of it. You know, they're going to pass the things that need to get passed. Spending bills are the top priority because if you don't, you know, cover your bills, then that's a big problem. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is a Republican Congress that had enough problems even getting a health care bill through both the House and the Senate, despite the fact that Republicans had run on that, replacing Obamacare. So, no, I don't think that they're going to get through all of the things that you've listed, and that's part of the reason perhaps why I'd be a little bit more skeptical than most that DACA will eventually get passed, because it's just so difficult to find a majority of representatives and a majority of senators and then to get Trump to sign on to any one piece of legislation.
Do you think we're going to see a lot of old-fashioned horse trading and log rolling? We've seen, you know, debt ceiling and hurricane relief. We've heard talk about we'll do DACA, but only if we get border wall funding. Is there going to be a lot of that kind of deal-making, whether successful or not, attempted?
I think that that's one of the ways that they're certainly going to, you know, they're going to certainly try to attempt that. Of course, attempting it and making it successful is a whole different thing. I will point out one final thing is the disappearance of earmarks has really made the horse trading much more difficult because when it comes down to it, Republicans and Democrats just believe in different things. And if you believe in different things and you're not willing to move, it's awfully difficult to get legislation passed.
So looking at DACA, just zooming in there for a second, the president essentially gave Congress, said, hey, you better do something in 6 months or I might step in. What does that mean? What do you expect that the president would do and how would Congress, you know, receive that sort of comment from him?
Well, I would say I don't know what the president would do because he just ended DACA. So what would he do in 6 months? But of course, he may come up with some idea on tomorrow's bed when he wakes up. But, you know, I do think that Congress probably doesn't like the idea, especially Republican leaders in Congress, of Trump encroaching on their turf. Republican leaders have for a long time argued that they were the power keepers in Washington, and certainly a lot of members of the Tea Party, which have been growing in the United States House especially, have certainly argued that the Congress needs to grab back some of the power that the presidency has taken over the last few presidents. So I don't necessarily think that they like Trump saying, hey, you better do something or else. They probably want to say, hey, Trump, let us deal with our own business.
Harry, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.